That one, Perik Samach over here, yeah. So we got like this. Shushan Edus Michtam Ledavid Lamed. So once again, we got three different parts of this over here. Shushan Edus, right? We don't know what this is. It's very possible it's a musical instrument. Michtam, we've already said what a Michtam is. Used that a couple times. And then Lilamed. This over here is a little bit different. He's trying to teach. He's trying to go about. And the next couple tell him are really about that, teaching a lesson and giving over something to somebody else. Now, this Tehillim specifically was about the wars that he spent doing against Aram Tzova, Aram Naharaim, and against Edom, and all the people that are there. Initially, they had captured cities of Eretz Yisrael, like all the way up north and all the way down south. Now, that happened over there. That stirred all the different the Jewish nations into action. They started going up against the enemies themselves. So, this is the idea. After they had fought the war, he wanted to teach them how to praise God afterward. That even though you might think that it's your own might, your own strength that's winning the war, instead, David HaMelech is trying to say, no, this is what we do. We should sing a mizmor afterward, saying how HaKadosh Baruch Hu arranged all of it and took care of this, etc., and everything like that. There's another thing that when David HaMelech was in the war against Aram Tzov and Aram Naharaim, which, by the way, was a Mohammed's Rishus, they were not required to fight that war. It's that he was allowed to, and he added on to Eretz Yisrael with it. At that moment, he heard that Edom was fighting in the south, and that they were being fought against on both sides. And unfortunately, there were 12,000 Jews that died in that war. And David HaMelech was extremely sad at what had happened over here. So Michtam is almost like a construct. It's Mach Vatam. He was humbled and wholehearted, that he knew that he had to do what he had to do over here. But nonetheless, at the same time, he was davening and saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please help me that this never happens again. Yoav came back. Then he destroyed Edom in Gei Melech, in the Valley of the Salt. My guess is, and I'm sure that everybody is probably thinking the same, it's right by the Salt Sea. I would assume it's around that area where he's fighting them, right around there, and that's what it's called, the Gei HaMelech, the Salt Valley that would have been around there. Maybe in the south a little bit. I don't know where exactly this would be. A lot of those areas
now, where they're to maneuver an army, especially without today's,
maybe it's a battle, like a small battle instead of like the
12,000 people were killed. So this was
from both Aram Tzov and Aram Naharaim and Edom. So I mean, if you go into both wars,
6,000 and 6,000. I mean, it's.
And that's just the people that died, right? Let alone the enemy, let alone everybody else. It could have been over years, honestly. It could have been a years-long battle over here. But altogether, it was Shneim Asar Aleph, right? When they fought together. And here, it seems to be that they destroyed 12,000 over here. There's also Bahatsoso as Aram Naharaim. Bahatsoso is the word mitzah, which is fight. It also could be Bahatsoso, which the Drush says. Oh, that's a good call also. But it also be Bahatsoso. The Medrash says that he split a river in order to get through. In other words, they had to cross rivers to get from one end to the other, which does make a little bit of sense. I would
assume. It's a different word.
That what?
It's not even the word.
Hey and Ches are interchangeable. They all are interchangeable. No, like Achea, Aleph Ches Hey Ayin. So we'll see that throughout. So no problem with that. And that, by the way, through for Rav Hirsch and the Malbim, they usually use words and they'll interchange the Ches and the Hey. They do that with the Resh and Dalet also. But either way, regardless, there was a lot that happened over here, and obviously it's there. But they crossed the river to go through, and it makes sense because they have to go down south through the Jordanian area, and there are rivers that lead to the Jordan River. Right, and there are tributaries that come out that they'd have to cross. I'm sorry, else? Which one? The Chatzosim, Medrash Rabba. Medrash Tehillim would have been over here.
Is that how you get Hanukkah and Hanukkah?
No, that's just those people.
But no, it's really a fact.
It is, it is.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's just a Sephardi guy. So either way, Elohim zinachtonu pratzanu. God, you have forsaken us, you have breached us. Anafta, you have been angry at us to show bivlanu, to restore us and bring us back. And that's that. So this is what happened. Hadadezer was the one who built a statue of himself and occupied some of the Israeli land, and they ended up fighting back, like going back and knocking them back to the Nahar Pras, to that area right over there. Even though it was just a breach, still, a breach of the land is a huge thing, and you got to take care of that breach, so they have to go up and they have to take care of it. But there's a very, very strange line from David HaMelech, the line of Zinachtanu Fratztanu. So Ben Kuziva said the exact same thing. you've forsaken us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're no longer with us. And he was punished for it. But David HaMelech was saying it, says the Gemara, in more of a questionable way. Are you really forsaking us? Are you really not with us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What's going on? Here, Ashta Aretz, you made the land shake, Pitzamti, you tore it open. Refosh Boreha, you weakened the breakings, Kimata, when it totters, and I guess that makes it easier to be able to fix, etc. But the shaking is the armies that came through and going through that. When Hadadezer came into the world, it came into the land, his armies were causing like shaking from one to the other. All together, that's what was happening over here. There is part of this over here, Harashta Aretz Pitzamta, is also a reminder of what happened with Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva laughed when everybody else was crying at the end of Makos, and we say that Mashiach ben David is going to come when they're at the lowest point. It's one of the ways that Mashiach can come, and it's based on this over here that after Hir Ashta Oretz, that's when Mashiach is going to come over here. That's that. There's another issue of Kfitsa Derech that we learned from Avishai, the Gemara, and Sanhedrin Sadihei from over here, but that's another thing altogether. Here is the Amcha Kasha. You have shown your people a lot of hardship. And you made us drink wine that is staggering, something that's going to knock us out, so to speak, almost like a poisoned wine. Can I just ask you guys, what is the Targum and Tarela? Just because I don't have it over here, what are the?
I think you do. It's there, isn't it?
Oh, no, it's just a regular thing.
Dilevat, which is cursed.
So lamed vav vav tes.
No, dalet lamed vav tes.
Okay, the Lamed Vav
Tes is a curse.
Yeah. So that makes sense, I guess. Now, Satele Reacha Nesilis No Seis, and you gave to those who fear you a banner to display to throw out in the world, Midnei Koshet Zel, because of the truth. Now, obviously, I said Nes is a banner, you know, something to pride themselves on, etc. But not only that, it's miracles. You handed them Nisim Gluim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that they were able to see the great things that were happening over here. Others say, and according to Rashi, Nes refers to the Nisyonos. You give them trials, tests, tribulations for them to go through to see if they're going to pass it. And when they do, then that's a benefit to all of Klal Yisrael. And when they don't, unfortunately, that's a bad thing over here. That's the idea. And that could be the Nesilis Nosais is because of the Koshet. The MS always refers to Torah. So the reason why they had the ability to stand up in war, says Gemara Brachos, is because they were learning in the camp. Their learning was able to keep them going. So therefore, what it means is Mipnei Koshet, because of the MS, which is the Torah, you were able to raise the banner and everything was able to be okay. Everything was good. My last shot over here is Lisa Nosais is a reference to the Jewish people be willing to be Moser Nefesh for what they were doing over here. Although the word Nes normally is a miracle, over here refers to the fact that the people gave up their lives in order to make sure that would happen, that they would be there. Either way, regardless, that's how we were able to go. L'man yecholtu nididecha, you rescued your beloved ones. Hoshia yimin chavaneni, your right hand has saved us, and you have answered me from it. Now, obviously, we say this line in our Shemona Esrei. You say this? You say this also. We also have it over here. It's that HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Rachamim came and was able to help us rather than go anywhere else. Chalutz also means to push forward in war, to knock against everybody else and to go forward. I'm sorry? Definitely related. I don't know how it's related, though. Chalitza is to take off the shoe, so I'm sure it has the same, you know.
Chalutz is somebody that can separate himself from the group and goes ahead.
No, so it's that person who separates from everyone else. That's where it comes from. But not a push forward necessarily. That part wouldn't be there. But that's that. Mashal over here, whenever you find a Kadosh Baruch Hu's right hand mentioned, it's referring to the defender of Bnei Yisrael, the son of the king, had his own personal defender, was always at hand to attend to any matter that affected the prince. Anything that happened to the prince, this guy would be their guard, a personal guard. It happened that his father, the king, imprisoned the defender. Something had happened, and his defender was gone. So then a matter arose, which the prince was required to deal with. When his father urged him to fulfill his obligation, the son said, "You imprisoned my own defender. So if I go out and I deal with this, I could be killed. Give me back my defender, and then everything should be okay, right? Then I'll be able to do it." So to the right hand, when Bnei Yisrael angered HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu drew back his right hand. So we're saying, listen, you want us to do what you know we have to do in this world. We can't do it without your right hand protecting us. That's what David Melch is asking back. Elokim, Dibra Bekotchoi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke in his holiness, Aloza, and I exulted in it. In other words, I praised him. Achal Kashchem, I divide up portions, the Emek Sukos Madeid, and I measured out different areas that would be as well. Now obviously Shchem and Sukos are also referring to places, right? There are different places that are over there. It's possible that it's referring to the land where the future Beis HaMikdash would be. Sukkos, right, is a big kasha where Yaakov Avinu made his Sukkos when he built up the city. But it seems to be a reference to Har HaBayis in some way, shape, or form. And La'asid, maybe it's going to extend all the way to Shechem. Shechem is in the land of Ephraim, right, where Beis El was, etc. So maybe it's supposed to be a land that's going to extend all the way out there, and that's what he's referring to.
That's a big chunk of land.
Beis HaMikdash is supposed to be the size of Yerushalayim.
Yeah, well, that's a measure.
Agreed. No, remember we saw that pasuk. It was in the
Echad. No, I know, but it wasn't straight out.
Yeah, because it's 3,500 by 3,500, but then it went on. Yeah, no, that was from the
literally.
The problem was the pasuk seemed to be exaggerating. That was the issue.
Well, also, the dimensions of the base of Megiddo and Gibza doesn't give it to the
That
size
was referring to the size of the Azara, though. I mean, the actual area that would be used was much bigger. Yechezkel said it was going to be stretched out. That's what it would be. Yeah, the line of Yechezkel is going to be to the size of Yerushalayim. That's what it's going to be. The line of the Gemara takes it further and says in Yerushalayim will be the size of Israel, etc. Correct. Yeah. It wouldn't be like our Yerushalayim now, but it would be something big. They would include Yer David, etc. What's up, Noah?
I was going to say, could be just the perimeter itself as the Yerushalayim.
Yeah. It's definitely possible. But either way, the idea is that it's supposed to be much bigger than it was. Right? So whatever. In that case, Amadid is going to be measured out the same way Yechezkel did. Li Gilad, Li Menasha. I get Gilad, I get Menasha. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, David HaMelech is saying, it's just lying my portions that shouldn't be given over to the other people. Ephraim is Roshi. Ephraim will be the stronghold of my head. Yehuda Mechol Kiki. Yehuda will be my scepter, my lawgiver. Now this is a reference, seemingly, to what's going to be at the end of days. Gilad and Menasha are the areas of Chutz Laaretz, outside on the right side of the Kinneret. That area that we know of as the Golan, basically, a little bit further. Very good. Yeah, that's the area right around there. It's funny that Menasha doesn't go in. There's so many great answers as to why Menasha is just thrown in there at the end. Bnei Reuven and Bnei Gad go in, and Menasha is just like, yeah, me too.
Hey, I want a piece of it. I want a piece of that.
Yeah, it's really good. There's a great revulsion on it also. There's some great stuff about Menasha being around here. And then Ephraim Moz Roshi, here's the point over here. We're trying to say that Lasset level, even though Ephraim is going to break off from Yehuda, and maybe David Melch was seeing a little bit of it because of Yerubim ben Nevat's little bit of rebelliousness, and Sheva ben Bichri, who is Yerubim ben Nevat's father.
Yerubim didn't happen until after Shlomo.
Yerubim ben Nevat didn't happen, but Sheva ben Bichri has been a rebel for quite a while. He wasn't killed until David Melch was 68. Sheva ben Bichri was the father of Yerubim ben Nevat. Nevat, who Sheva ben Bichri, that's the Gemara in Sanhedrin. So Nevat and Sheva ben Bichri is the same person. So in that case,
that everyone's always different, 16 different names.
Because the reference, Ben Nevat is a reference to who Yerubim was. That's what the Gemara is saying. That Nevat was somebody that here it means that he grew up, like he became like a flower that came out. That's what Nevat meant, according to the Gemara. Right, and that's what it's called Rabbi Nevat. But Nevat was not the actual name. The actual name was Sheva ben Bichri, which also meant something else. Right, there's something else. Either way, but Ephraim will then be with Yehuda. That each one will have their own thing. I'm sorry?
His grandfather?
Not according. No, the Gemara definitely says who Sheva ben Bichri, who Nevat. So that's for sure. And Isha Tanach has something on it also. That as well. But that's going to be, everybody will go together. Moav Sirachti. Moav will be the basin where I wash my hands. Al Edom Ashlichan Eli. I will cast my shoe upon Edom. A light washes Yisroel'i. And the area of the Plishim as well, right, they will cry out loud. They'll be able to call out loud. Now, there's an interesting thing to this pasuk. There are three lands outside of Eretz Yisrael that were promised to Avram Avinu that we did not get. The seven nations in Eretz Canaan, we know that. The Canaanite, the Chiti, the Chivi, the Prizi, Yabusi, Girgashi, and Amori. Those are the seven nations in Eretz Canaan. But then there were the Keni, Kenizi, and Kadmoni. There's a kasha who they were. But Avram Avinu was promised 10 nations lands, and we only got seven. Those other three lands were Moab, Ammon, and Edom. Those are the three other lands. Keni, Kenizi, and Kadmoni. Referring to Moab, Ammon, and Edom. Right? That's what Rashi says. And those three lands will be given to us lost at level. Those three lands are right over there. Now, Peleshes is added on over here. The Plishim was the land southwest of Eretz Yisrael before you get to Egypt. That Bnei Yisrael may never have had at all, right? The Gaza Strip, what we call today, a little bit west of the Gaza Strip, some parts of the Gaza Strip, which we may never have conquered.
They went all the way up to Ashkelon. It was Ashkelon.
Yeah, they did go up. They did go up north. But they had something that we had never conquered. We don't know what we conquered out of that area right over there. But definitely Moab and Edom are mentioned over here. Ammon, it could be that it's included within Moab. They do that sometimes. Maybe Moab and Ammon are going together over here. Either way, it means all this land will be mine. All this land is going to be given to me at that time. It's not David Melch necessarily saying, but for Mashiach in the future. Who's going to bring me into the fortified city? Who's going to lead me all the way to Edom? God, haven't you forsaken us? And God hasn't gone out in our host. Again, there's another line that we said Ben Koziba said, Bar Kochba had said, but here he's saying it as a question. Aren't you taking us at Kadosh Baruch Hu? Aren't you the one who's going to lead us into battle? When that Bar Kochba was saying it as a statement. You are not with us. We have to fight on our own. And Bar Kochba was saying it as a matter of fact, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not very appreciative of. Havelin Lazarus Mitzor, give us some help from the enemy. Vishav Chuas Adam, for the salvation of man is but nothing. It's absolutely nothing. Turn into a friend, in other words. That's the idea behind it over here, that he should give the koach to survive. Elokim Nasachayo, through God, we will do our wars, we'll fight. Vuyavu Sarenu, and he'll step upon our enemies and everything we have over here, and that's going to be in. The line that the Gemara says over here, Nasachayo, is a reference to learning Torah L'Shem Shemayim, that if we do that, we will have achieved excellence in our serving our Kadosh Baruch Hu properly, then we'll be able to stand up in war, do what we need to do in order to survive. Okay, that was that. That's what happened when he fought against Aram Naharaim and Aram Sova. Now, Lamzal HaNeginas David. Now, on the Neginas. Not the Neginos, although he's mentioned that before. This is the Neginas, which means either a single version of that musical instrument, or he was a little bit happier. He didn't need the multiple amounts of music in order to get this Ruach HaKodesh to be able to go through.
That is part of an
a single. Very good, very good. A Zemer instead of a Shir over here. Either way, regardless, this is going to be about the future Golus. Whatever that means in David Melech's eyes, there was something that he saw about the future that he's going to testify about. It's possibly our Golus. It's
but then why it sounds like he's it's a great
song. The songs, right. And that's, we've learned before, well, we haven't seen it yet, I'm sorry, Ayin Tes is going to be the famous one where Toso says it in Kiddush and it's really a Gemara, where Mizmor La'asav Elokim Bo Gayim B'Nachla Secha, it's a song of Asav, when the Gayim came into your Nachla, Timos Hechol Kachecha, etc. And the answer is because Golos is the Kapara. The fact that our Beis HaMikdash was destroyed is the Kapara. You didn't have to kill Jews in order to get that Kapara happening. So thank God that not, you didn't just take away our lives.
Yeah, but there is also taking, no, because in that parak itself, it talks about taking away lives.
There's no question that people died. It would have been more if God wouldn't have, as the Gemara calls it, thrown his wrath upon the sticks and stones. Right? Which do hurt us. But that's the idea behind it. Shimelkim Rinasi, God, listen to my singing, my song, Hakshiva Tilasi, listen to my prayer, allow me to be able to daven to you. This is going to be like sort of like a joyous song, right, that the Shekhinah should come down for. Mikte Arth Elecha Akrol, from the edge of the earth I call out to you. Bat hopefully be when my heart is fainting, but through your room, Mimeni Sancheni, right? So lead me to a rock. This is too high for me to be able to get to. Sancheni means to lead me, but sur to a rock, Yaru Mimeni, that is above me. Now, what does that mean over here? So, the Medrash says that this refers to Shaul. Allow me to be above Shaul HaMelech. Allow me to get beyond what happened over here, and so I don't have to deal with it. And don't let me, but hopefully be when I'm fainting, when I'm so scared, when everything is going on, HaKadosh Baruch, please help me to be able to say the right words and do the right thing at that time. He was also trying to tell everyone that you're never potter from tefillah, even if you're in a dangerous place. You may have to switch your tefillah. The Gemara in the fourth parak of Brachos and the fifth parak of Brachos has another tefillah to say when you're in a makom sakana, when you're in an area where it's dangerous, where you don't say a regular tefillah, you say something different. Nonetheless, I'm not pottered from tefillah.
That would be the one situation where you'd say that's when you're for sure not pottered from tefillah. If you're in a dangerous situation, that's when you should be davening.
See, yes and no. What I mean by pottered from tefillah is I'm not saying whether I should in order to get myself help. Am I chayiv to daven at that moment because I have to get away from the danger? If I find myself,
it would also depend what kind of danger it is.
Exactly. Let's say I find myself in the west side of Chicago in a dangerous area, and I know that if I stay there, I'm not there. But I have a chiv of mincha. I've got to daven mincha beforehand. So what do I do? Do I daven mincha there? So the halacha is I am pater mitzvila. There is a one-liner that we say, right? I don't have it on me, but it's a Gemara in Brachos that you say, and that takes the place of tefillah if you make it somewhere safe to be able to daven another Shemoneh Esrei. You daven another Shemoneh Esrei, but if you can't, you can't.
Daven in your car. If that's safe. If that's safe, no, then you're fine. If it's a dangerous situation.
While driving away.
What? No, you can't daven while driving. No concentration.
If you're going to miss Mahan.
Yeah, no choice. There's nothing you can do.
You just don't daven rather.
Yeah, how are you going to do it?
While you're driving.
No, you can't daven while driving.
You can drive an autopilot.
No. Halachically, you are not allowed to drive.
You're diving an autopilot. You're driving an autopilot.
If when we have a Tesla with autopilot, I am 100% ready to answer that, Shiloh. But right now, you don't have a Tesla.
No, I don't.
I'm just saying. So right now, you don't have a Tesla. So I'm answering the Shiloh for you. Don't daven while driving. You can daven if someone else is driving. Someone else is driving, that's okay.
What if when you're davening, you're on autopilot anyway? So, when you're davening, you're on autopilot. So the difference is you're driving. You're davening. You're doing the same type of davening.
Yeah, but I can't popkin that, Shiloh. There's nothing I can do. Don't be on autopilot. Pause it down. You know those times where all of a sudden you see yourself ending Shemoneh Esrei and you're like, wait, I just heard it, didn't I just start
talking
that?
About
yeah, I definitely hear that. You've been a refuge for me, Akash Baruch Hu, a tower of strength for my enemy. Allow me to be in your ohel forever. Again, their tent refers to the base medrash. I'll take refuge in the cover of your wings, Akash Baruch Hu, allow me to be covered by you, etc. Now, some explain that Devon Ralph is referring to Olam Haba, right? Others say this refers to when he goes into the grave itself, that if you quote a Chacham, or you say something in the name of a Chacham, right, then that Chacham's lips move when you say it out. I think that would apply to Talim, that anytime somebody says the words of Talim, that Devon Ralph, so to speak, his lips move in the Kever. I don't know if two people are doing it at once, what ends up happening, but I would assume. And that's part of the concept of double melech yisrael chai v'kayim that he always.
But
he always
it's also
exists.
Probably not meant to be taken literally that his lips are moving, and meaning that he's getting scar for it in Olam Haba for what we're doing. And
it's funny because the Gemara does use it as a raya for tchias amesim. It rejects it for another reason, but it does use it as a raya. If the lips of a chacham move in the kever, if you're quoting them, then certainly there must be a whole idea of tchias amesim.
Like
that's a quote from the Gemara. Right. Nonetheless, a Gemara tries to.
We know that
there.
People decompose. So,
yeah, no, 100%. So what ends up happening? But we know that tzaddikim aren't supposed to, or certain tzaddikim.
Right, but I mean, what, only people who are after tzaddikim
are. It would have to be that way. Yeah, it would have to be only those that would have that. Oh, no. Not that they would be the only ones, but that the concept of tzaddikim exists. If you see this concept exist, and even one chacham talks in the kever, so to speak, then it should be true by every time a chacham.
Deeper meaning.
Well, of course, yeah, but nonetheless, the Gemara does use it as a raya. So that means there's some type of whatever it is. But Dovah Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim certainly has a deeper meaning to it than anything else. There's that as well. Olamim also could be in the many stages of one's life and the different Olamim. You're going to help me in this way. Now, he's going to switch over into a different way. Ki'atolokim Shemata L'Nidarai. Kadosh Baruch Hu, you heard my vows. It's very important. We're not Nidarim people, although we do, like, swear. I swear this is true and whatever. We don't really make Nidarim like they used to do back then. There was a lot
you're
of people.
Supposed to say I swear.
We don't do it anymore.
Well, no, you apparently didn't say I swear.
Apparently it was a big thing for them to make, like, I promise to do this if blank. Like, they would make Nidarim al Tanai. Apparently that was a big thing back in the day.
It was a way to make it to be. No, but also the Gemara talks about it.
They didn't have the contract like we did. Your word is
your bond, but
if they come from something,
Michelle Obama.
Well, hold on. I mean, you're talking about a whole parak in Bava Metzia, so that's not an easy thing to say.
No, but also, doesn't Nidarim these have Nidrei Zeruzus? Meaning, we talk about Mishmushba Beomed Mehar Sinai.
There's no
point of promise to do a mitzvah
or to not
further bound the right.
Right. There's conscience about that. But the fact is, people use Nidarim, not just in business. So people use Nidarim all the time. Who's developed them? Nasati Yerusha to Yerushimecha, and you granted a Yerusha to those who fear your name. And that's the idea. You have listened to my vows. You heard what I have to say, and you gave me something for it. Yom 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 Tosif. And for that, add on days to the days of the king. Shnosav Kamodor Vador. Let his years last many generations over here. So that's that. It's interesting over here. Dor. It does not say Dor. It's Dor Vador. I'm sorry. It does not say Dor. Generation after generation. It's Dor Vador, that each time should be almost like its own generation. That Devon Melech said, was always afraid, David HaMelech, that his years were shortened due to the sins that he had committed. He had always worried about that, and he always looked at Bathsheba, or what had happened with Bathsheba, and thought that maybe he was going to lose his life for it. Now, that happened at the age of around 57, when David was around 57, because we know he died at 70. We know that Shlomo HaMelech was around 12-ish when he became king. So around the year of 57. So it could be that he thought that he was going to live. He wanted to live the years of a generation, and he generation would normally be like 25 years, whatever it is. So perhaps he was asking to live for generations, referring to 25 or 25, 25, 75 years altogether. Maybe he wanted to live a generation after the sin had happened, and he came close.
But in that, I guess Moshe wrote that one.
He definitely wrote it, right?
Moshe wrote it.
That's the Pella. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky talks about that. He says, Yaakov says Moshe Rabbeinu was 120. What does he mean?
He lived an exceptionally long life, maybe. But
Rabbi Yaakov's chiddush was that he wrote it when he was younger. That's a big chiddush. It very well could be true. He wrote it when he was much younger, when he was still in Mitzrayim and living by Paro, etc., but still learning from Amram and Yom Chaved.
He wasn't that old. Oh, meaning when he was like 15
years old? 20 years old before he left. Mm-hmm. That was a big chiddush for Yaakov saying that, because otherwise, how would he? If he's writing it at 120,
but maybe he's making, an observation of the generation.
It's hard because many
it might make sense too. A lot of people died before 60, remember, the whole generation.
Good.
So if somebody lives to 70, he's lived a full life.
No, that's a good call. That is a good call. But the people around him, like Aaron and Miriam, also lived that long.
He knew that they were exceptions to the rule.
Manasseh was still around, right? They still had Sarah Bas Asher was still around. I hear what you're saying, but you're saying that they were the only exceptions, that most people died at the age of 70.
Or maybe in those days, the lifespan of 70 years was considered. In general,
there's no question. It would make sense that 70 would be a normal amount of years. Although, remember, this is only a few years after, Yaakov and the Shofim, who lived long lives, hundreds.
What were the
years.
Egyptians living to?
That's a good question. We don't know. Let's say, if
normal
we go by the. Again, we can't go by kings, and that's another thing the MLA says, because kings normally do not live long lives because of the troubles that they're under, because of the stress that they're under, and because of all the, obviously, the danger that was there. And we see that throughout the kings of Klal Yisrael. I don't know if it's consequential. Well, it has to be consequential. It happens to be the kings all lived shorter lives, except for, exceptions were Menasseh, Ahav, etc.
King Tut died at 18.
King Tut became king when he was kid, you know what I'm saying? And he was a very
sick
kid.
Who's the Melech in this puzzle? Is that them talking about himself?
That's a good question. David, Shlomo, or Mashiach? So if it's referring to him, he wants himself to live longer. If it's referring to Shlomo Melech, he wants him to live longer. Shlomo did not live a long life at all. 52 is when he passed away. Or it's referring to Mashiach.
Have his own life longer.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I don't think it's chutzpah.
You ask it for them to ask it.
What do you mean, for anybody?
Why can't you ask for your life to be longer?
He knew it was
going to be
70 years.
I don't think he knew.
I thought we know that he knew.
I don't think he knew. He probably
had
ideas. He didn't know when he was going to die.
He knew that he got time for Muddle.
I don't know if he knew that. We know that. I don't know if he knew.
We know that he knew.
Yeah, what are you going to say, Noah?
I don't know. It just seems like...
strange thing in and of itself. Yeah. Okay, I agree. But nonetheless,
if we're sick,
you ask for life. What do you do on Rosh Hashanah?
That's because we know we've done wrong. I'm saying, like, double it, I guess.
He did wrong, too.
In his way. Bathsheba was bad. Even if you can answer up everything, still Bathsheba looks terrible. So even if we can get around everything, I just look at Abarbanel. Yes, even though we look at Abarbanel in a different way.
Right.
Yeah. But I would definitely ask for
that. Look at Abarbanel, and how was he able to marry her afterwards?
He
said, the meaning, he did Teshuvah. How did he do Teshuvah and remain married? Somebody's forbidden to him.
Huh?
That makes sense.
And the son ended up becoming the king of Klal Yisrael.
Right, but the son's not a manzer. The first kid who died would have been. But
Mary swept through the Abarbanel out of the race matters.
What is
it's a real Shiloh in the Abarbanel.
Is there a halal status of somebody who was this kid, according to that, was Shlomo be a halal?
The kid is not a manzer. There's no pogrom status, maybe. Is usher to her mother, but every time he was together with Bathsheba, it would have been usher. So it would have been an usher. It's literally, it's one of the I mean, it was an unbelievable topic. But
that would be kind of the equivalent of a Cohen marrying a divorcee and remaining married to her and trying to do the shuva for it. Because she's in it's her lot to be married to him, just like
yeah, it might be different. This might only be in the Durabanan.
Oh, it's the Durabanan?
It might be.
So that would come later.
Together with that lady, yeah.
So maybe the Durabanan came after
that. That could be. That could be. I don't remember. I have to go through Yavamas again. I don't remember. If you go through again, if you yeah, but when did that come in? Is that a Dil Raisa? By a Sota, right. Dil Raisa. Does that apply to a Kal Vachomer or does it apply to a Svara? That would be the question. You'd have to ask. I don't know. I don't remember. Yeshua was an Elohim, may be enthroned forever in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chesed Emes Ma'anyin Tzuru, with Chesed and Emes, and let him appoint someone that they can preserve him for a long, long time. Some said that it refers to Chizki over here, and he added on another 15 years over here, and he asked for equality. So I sing to you forever, to your name forever, to fulfill my nether daily, you know, every single day, that it should be, that it should never have the destruction or anything like that. Now, the funny thing is that Mi'amor is, as I told you before, starts off this film and says that a reference to what's going to be with the future Golos and how it's going to be over there. Somehow, David's tribulations and his trials over here must reference what happened to Bnei Yisrael throughout Golos, but how exactly and how it goes through, I don't know. Now, I had an idea that it really connects with the one before and that it's referring to, like, what's going to happen at Kal Yisrael at the end of days and how we're in other nations and kicked out, etc. And I had a little idea that I wanted to go through that. I don't know how to really apply that. It's an interesting line, but he says it's based on one of the Rishonim, so I don't know. That I can't tell you. Alright, we're on to book 3 over here. Let's go. We're on 5. Alright, so yeah, it's huge. Shatamah Faith. Tehillim is by far the biggest. Everything else. Mishlei is 2 books also, but everything else is a lot smaller. Just Tehillim, it takes up everything. Ksuvim. Alright. Samach Beis, my kid, by the way, just got a great Sefer, 2-volume set that my brother got him in Eretz Yisrael. It's an English Nevi'im Ksuvim. It's like this little green thing. It's summaries of everything in Navi and like really good Pshatim. Like what's going on, etc. I'm reading it, so it's really good.
You know, it's
what are your bar mitzvah? Who's had it in your bar mitzvah?
Hey,
oh, yeah, there.
You can.
I forgot what the name is. Two people wrote it. Two people.
Publisher?
I got my. I don't know. I wasn't looking at that.
You know what? You know what's a great set for kids to learn all of the Midrash and Tanakh? And there's 8 volumes. 4 on Torah and 4 on Nevi'im. It's the Treasury of Midrashim. It's by Rabbi Yehuda Klapholz.
Treasury of Midrashim.
Unbelievable. I have them. I can lend you. No.
Really?
I read it in elementary
school. Just saying, David, are you okay with that?
Yeah.
That's how I learned all the Tanakh.
It's amazing.
Read it in like elementary school. It's good for adults too. It's a phenomenon.
Amazing. Okay, let's go on. Lama Sefa Yedusim Yizmon David. Again, this is Yedusim over here. The idea behind this is David is encouraging himself to trust in the Kodesh Baruch Hu in these times of trouble where things are not going well.
What's
Yedusim? Yedusim is either he was the conductor, the person who put the song together, or he was a Navi that lived at the same time. Yedusim refers to bad laws, bad edicts that are made against the Jews. So he was thinking about that.
A musical instrument.
A musical instrument, obviously, is the, you know, we're going to go with that every time also. Akal Elokim Dumi Anafshi, my God trusts and waits in silence for HaKadosh Baruch Hu Meni Shuasi. I know that my salvation is only going to come from him. My deliverance is only going to come from him. It's not coming from anywhere else. Akal Tzuri Shuasi, he is my rock. He is my salvation. Miskabi, my high tower, lo amot rab. I will not fail greatly. I will not be moved. I will be perfectly fine. Rabba also is a reference to Gehenna. It's one of the 8 names of Gehenna that are mentioned in Sanhedrin and Sota. Do you have the Gemara over there that does mention the Gemara?
Sanhedrin? Kuftes.
Yeah, that makes sense. But Rabba is supposed to be the line that it refers to Gehenna, that I know that I will not fail and go to Gehenna.
So that's that guy over here.
Which one? Rabba? Aramaic. I think that's because Rabba meant great. Rabba also means great. It's sort of like the word ma'od in the Chumash. That ma'od Gehenim, I think is what the Midrash says.
I mean, ma'od comes from the word harbei.
Yeah, no, there's no question. Yeah. But over here, the reference is to Gehenim in his line. How long will you set yourself upon a man to Ratzkul Kulchem, right, and slay him, all of you, like a leaning wall, like a fence that's being tottering, that's thrown over. So Devonel is looking at everybody and saying, how long are you going to gather up against, not referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but how long are you going to do this violence and have these conspiracies and try to do this, all these murders and whatever it is. And he's talking about, obviously, if you go through Devonel's life, that could happen 10 times over, was it referring to Avner? Was it referring to Shaul's men Doeg and Achitophel? Doeg was referring to Achitophel later on, was referring to Abshalom. How long are you going to do this when it comes to this? And that's that. There's another idea. The Medrash brings this down for the people of Sodom, that they used to take walls, and they used to make like regular walls, and they used to take wealthy men and put them behind the walls, and then make sure the wall would fall on them, and then go run and take their money. That's what they would do. I don't know if it actually happened in Sodom, or these are Sodomi people. Mida Sodom in Pirkei Avos, right? Is that what it refers to? From a height, from all the way up high, they advise that they should knock them down. Yirtzu Chazov, they are so desirous of all these lies. B'fivi Barechu, they bless with their mouths, V'kir B'nikat Lusela. But on the inside, all they do is they curse one after the other. And Dovid HaMelech saw that many of the people that were chasing after were doing just that. Achalokim Domi Nafshi. But my soul, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to wait in silence. I wait for HaKadosh Baruch Hu in silence. I know that my hope is going to come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm not going to ask for specifics from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to save me, that's what will happen. Ahuturi Vishwasi is my rock, my salvation, Miskabi, my high tower, low moat. I will not fail when he's around. Alokim, Yish Yuchvodi, that's where my deliverance, my glory will be. Tsuruzi, the rock of my strength, Maxi Velokim, my protection is in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I trust in God at every time. Shifchu Lefan of Levachem, the people should pour out their hearts in front of you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is this protection for us. And you see, it's over and over and over again, the idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu protecting me and taking care of me. Because dealing with people, it's nothingness. It's hevel, as Shlomo HaMelech calls it throughout Mishlei. It's garbage. Kaz b'nei ish, right? It's lies when you go to people, whether they're adam and lowly people or ish, high people, high, you know, better people. Either way, the most nine, you put them up on a scale, Lalos Hema Mehevel Yah, right? They rise more together than a breath, a little bit more than a breath itself. In other words, it's just futility. There's nothing that we can do. Yes, people can promise you things all day long, but there's nothing to rely on because you have no idea if they're going to make it the next day. Who says they're going to be around to be able to take care of you when it comes to that? And along with this, he's obviously talking about people that indulge in luxuries that are a bit beyond their means or beyond what they should have. Why are you getting involved with that, says Dovid HaMelech? What's the purpose of doing stuff like this? I'll tip to Hubo Shev Gazel. Do not rely on or trust in Gezel, in Oshik, in robbery, etc. Al-Tabalu, don't have that hevel. Don't get involved with that hevel. Chayel Kianuv, right, these armed, if you, all these riches, when they increase, Al-Tishisulev, don't pay attention to them. Granted, you get to do extra chesed with that money. Sure, you can pay off certain, everything that you have with that money. But don't change your mode and what you do just because you got a lot of money. If you change yourself, then you've totally messed up on what it is. And I think that's the reason why, no matter how many people ask, how much people ask for more money, more money, more money. I think that's the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't give it. He knows that at that time, that Nisayon is going to be too much for you. You're going to change if you got that much money. You're going to change everything about you. And maybe when a person is not going to change, whether he's already that bad or he's just really, really good, that's when it happens. Maybe give it to him because at that point, what's the point? What's the difference? No need, meaning it could be that he's on that level now, that he deserves to have riches, right?
Even
and
we
see what he's like. Not bad isn't, you know, like doing badly, whatever it is, no, but like overspending, and he's used to it. He's already there, even though he doesn't have the money. You have a guy who only makes, let's say, $40,000 a year, but spends as if he has 60, right? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give him 60, right? What difference does it make? Maybe he deserves a little bit more in order to get it. Maybe
yeah,
that when he's not
60, he's going to spend like he has it.
Exactly, yeah, and that's what will happen. It'll be a constant battle until, you know, the guy will keep going up, it'll keep moving up. That's why Kurdish Parker doesn't say, like, he's already missed the test, he's already failed. So what difference does it make? Then again, I shouldn't talk because I just paid out all my tuition checks just today.
Yeah,
so
you're paying a tuition check, weren't being like, oh, I just got a $5 raise, I'm going to go buy a luxury car.
Yeah, that's definitely true. I didn't get a $5 raise, so I do quite need a bit more. I love schools, but that's a lot of money. Achas Dibur Elokim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke once, but Shtayim Zu Shamati, I hear two things, Ki Oz Elokim, and that's the power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And here's the idea behind this. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu says a word, you have to read in between the lines and hear both words. You can't just read a word and assume that, oh, this is what this means. You have to look, what does he really mean behind it? So, Achas Zu Diber Elokim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to say one thing. And Shtayim Zu Shmati, you have to go in and say to yourself, what does God really want with this? It's clear. That's not it. There's something else. Whether that's through a medrash or through another pshat or through another remez or whatever it is, there's two things that you can figure out what's going on over here. And that's the concept behind it. So that's the schar, so to speak, that you get. Ki Oz Elokim, that's the strength of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, how a Kadosh Baruch Hu goes through. And a Kadosh Baruch Hu said, that, this is what Devon Elch is saying. When you look through what a Kadosh Baruch Hu is telling us, where's our bitachon? How does this happen to those people? What's happening over here? There's a message. Look at the message. Look for the message. You have the chesed over here, because you pay them back exactly as what they do. Mida kidding, Mida, obviously. Right? But even that, in a way, he's saying that even gulls is chesed. So he says the following. He says, there's another interpretation that goes through these psukim, which it says the following. If you learn Torah, l'shem shamayim, you get a castle above and a castle below. A man, says the mashal, once invented a wondrous machine which made it possible for entire cities to be built in a short time. Right? And let's call that machinery, right, that they use nowadays.
Crane.
Yeah, like cranes. Let's say he built a crane, right? The king awarded him a prize for his invention, right? And he gave him a prize for it. But he certainly didn't let him keep all the cities, right, that he built with that crane. He's not going to give him all the cities. Cities weren't for me, says the king. But you invented it, so I'll give you money for that thing itself.
Here's the put Trump on the building.
Right. The crane creator did not put his name on that, unless his name was Crane. Right? Otherwise, I don't think he did, right? But here's a shot. When a Kadosh Baruch Hu allows us to learn Torah, not only does he give us the reward for learning Torah, he gives us the Torah as well. The buildings that we create by learning Torah, we also get as a castle above and a castle below as well. It's like a double whammy, right? You get schar in this world. That's what it means, Talmud Torah Kenegi Kula. You get something here and something there, aside from the fact that there's a mitzvah to learn Torah. So not just is the Torah learning affecting you here and affecting you up above. There's a mitzvah to learn Torah. You get scarred for doing a mitzvah also. It's an amazing idea of what happens when you're able to sit and learn Torah. That's the idea behind it. And then each Avera is separate in that way. Okay, that's the concept. That's Samach Beis over here. Let's do Samach Gimel. Mizmo Ledavid, another Mizmo, there'll be also be Midbar Yehuda when he was in Midbar Yehuda. Now, was he actually in Midbar Yehuda? Was he running around from Shaul HaMelech in the Midbar Yehuda? Was that what was happening over here? Some say that he was praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because at least this time I got to stay in Eretz Yisrael. He had to run to Moab one time, he had to go to the Plishtim another time. Here, at least he was running around in Eretz Yisrael. Thank God I got to be in Eretz Yisrael. From here we learned that if you go outside of Eretz Yisrael, ki iloin lo aloka. This is where the Medrash brings down, that it's as if you have no God. There are two Rashis that say that throughout Tanakh, right, that if you live outside of Eretz Yisrael.
Alright.
Okay. I know, I feel the same way sometimes. But regardless, right? That's what it's like being around here. At least you're ready to move to Eretz Yisrael. Come on. You have that
ready. We all are. Yeah.
Somebody just offered said to me, would you come with me if I set you up in Eretz Yisrael? I was like, I really want to say yes.
You don't have to write tuition checks in Eretz Yisrael.
You don't have to write, right?
Yeah,
you write tuition. Yeah, it's true.
You are right. Well, you got to send something. It's just not tuition is.
You might have to hire the 35 tutors for like secular subjects.
For secular subjects. They don't have secular subjects there. Come on. Either way, regardless, that's the idea behind it. Yeah, I know. That's definitely true. Either way, there's definitely another idea is that when he was in Midbar Yehuda meant that he was able to get Ruach HaKodesh in an area where nothing else was going on. It was a wilderness. And yet he was able to find HaKadosh Baruch Hu even in the wilderness, so to speak. Elokim Eliyato. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are my God. Now notice, by the way, Elokim Eliyato. El is a lashon of rachamim. How do I know that? Hashem Hashem. Kel Rachum Mechanun. Those are 13 Midos HaRachamim. And one of them is the name Kel. So Elohim, the Midas Adin, Keliato, you are also Kel. There is Rachamim within you. Ashachareka, I search for you. Tamalachanashi, my soul pines for you. Kamalacha Bisari, my bosser, my flesh longs for you. When I'm in a land that is thirsty and tiresome, where there's no water whatsoever. Now, again, Ashachareka could also refer to Shachar, right? The morning sleep is the sweetest sleep, right? But nonetheless, I'm going to get up and I'm going to do what you want me to do. There is nothing like a person who gets to sleep in an extra half hour. I think we all know that. When you get to sleep in the extra half hour, it's literally the sweetest feeling in the world. There is nothing better.
Unless you wake up more tired.
No.
I don't care. No. The extra half hour, it is absolutely a godsend. There is no question whatsoever. Yeah. Absolutely no question. Like, if you're used to getting up at 6 a.m., you get up at 6:30. Oh, it's unbelievable. You're wide awake. Even 5 minutes, it's like that. I'm sorry.
When you're used to waking up a certain time and your body can't keep going, can't sleep.
No. That's so. It's interesting. I can't do it on Shabbos anymore. Awesome. It is awesome. Wow. But I can't go further.
Let's go.
I'll wake up at around 6:50 every single Shabbos morning, and I guess I'll cat nap a little bit, but I can't do it. It sucks. It's a great feeling. Either way, regardless, still I'm going to get up in the morning to do what you need me to do. That's what it means, sablocha nafshi. I desire it. I'm thirsty to be able to do it. And the idea is also to run to do mitzvos, to jump up to be able to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. That's the idea, to get up early in the day to be able to go through. Another way of looking at it is that David HaMelech was the first, I shouldn't say the first, because Avraham Avinu really was the first, another person who found God through nature. He used to be with the flocks of sheep and goats and cows and whatever it was that he watched in the fields. He used to be with them.
They were all
gazing at whatever it is. He used to say Avraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, Moshe, Edward, right? Yes, I shouldn't say that about him. But David HaMelech was one who was able to do a lot of this talent, was composed, or at least started when he was with the sheep. I always thought of it, by the way, that he made the songs when he was with the sheep, and maybe basic ideas, but at the end of his life is when he really put words together with them and made them into songs, or maybe as time went on. I always thought of it, but regardless.
The songs were part of his life, because every time...
No question. It's the harp, etc.
Yeah.
You know, the way he played for Sholem,
and when you won a battle, you sing a song.
So I would say that this is more like the final version. But regardless, he would sit in the wilderness, he'd look at the sun, the moon, the stars, the constellations, everything that's out there, and he'd be so impressed by it, looking at it, saying, this is amazing. What's going on here? How awesome is this over here? And when he says it's a place devoid of water, again, it could be it's Midbar Yehuda, it's a Midbar, so it's referring to a desert. So when you're in a desert, you have absolutely nothing, etc. It could very well be that way. On the other hand, it could be that he's saying, my thirst, I long for you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want to be near you. I want to have something to do with you. And that's what it means. I feel like I'm thirsty. I feel like I'm missing the Kim HaKadosh Chai Zizicha. I've looked for you in Kodesh, Liros Uzcha B'Chuloidecha, to see your power and all of your cup of your glory as well, to be able to go through it. Now, again, a mushal over here. He says, I wasn't trying to impress people by sitting down and show whatever it was. I was showing you. I was trying to do what I knew what I had to do. A man was wandering in the wilderness, came across a ship that had floundered in the sea and been pushed ashore by the waves themselves. The vessel was filled with all good things, and this presented a dilemma. What should he take with him? If he only took the treasures of silver and gold, that would mean he would die of hunger. If he loads up with the food and the other provisions, that means he's going to return home without any silver and gold whatsoever. In the end, he only took the food because he knew he had to survive. Turned to the ship, he said out loud, had I found you close to human habitation, I would have taken all the gold and all the precious things you have, but what am I to do? I'm in a dry and weary land, I'm forced only to take the food itself. And the analogy is that we come upon days of like goodwill, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with us, etc. We're hungry and thirsty for all the things that are needed by the body and the soul. We ask for the needs of the body. That's what we look for. But what about the soul? Meaning we sit there and we're like, oh wow, I can get this and I can do that. When all of a sudden we're given like divine help and we end up getting a little bit of extra money. We end up spending money on things that we need, right? Physical needs. Like, oh, I really needed to fix the house. Baruch Hashem, I'm able to fix the house a little bit. But you're missing out on something. You're missing out on what the soul needs. The things that it was deprived of throughout this entire time. Ki tov chasach hamechayim, your kindness is better than life. Svasai shabkuncha, my lips therefore will praise you, right? Even in the midst of all this. That's what's going to be over here. Your chesed is better than life itself. Hey, from here, the Medrash says it's better the gift of intelligence than the gift of anything to the body itself. That the powers of the body can all be understood from intelligence, but intelligence is by far the best thing to be able to go through. It's interesting.
That's what Shlomo asked for.
I would assume that's the reason why.
It would be interesting, though, to ask someone like Stephen Hawking, would he give up his intelligence to be able to be healthy?
He'll probably say no.
I don't know.
Would you, for a body, let's say, LeBron James' body, would you give up your intelligence for it? I'm not saying LeBron James is stupid. I'm just saying.
Am I making money like LeBron James?
No, the real question is, how dumb do you become?
Right.
Yeah, I guess you'd have to go. How far would you go?
It's not like you're saying you just
have... Commensurate with your body. Commensurate with your body.
No, but you would want to keep your... but that's different. I mean, thank God I'm functional. I mean, I'm not LeBron James,
it's
but...
Okay, right.
You know, can I give an example? With Nussin Svi Finkel, even with his all the issues with Parkinson's, I remember my mashgiach got up once and he said that, you know why with Nussin Svi Finkel has the issues that he has? His soul decided in Shemayim that I want to be the Rosh Hashiva of the Mir, so to speak. But the only way for him to become the Rosh Hashiva of the Mir was to go through the tzaros that he had and the Yisurin that he had. You can understand that afterward. He said, would you make that decision? Would you choose
but do we know
to be the Rosh Hashiva of the Mir?
Do we know that it's the soul to make, or Hashem says
no.
The top
human? That wasn't the point. That wasn't the point. That wasn't the point. That wasn't the point.
Wasn't the
point.
Before he had the issues?
Yes and no. Meaning, he had to go through it and go through. So meaning, if you knew that this is what you have to go through in order to go through, would you choose that decision? You could be the Rosh Hashiva of the Mir Yeshiva, a gavul b'Yisrael. Would you choose it if it came with 25 years of suffering? Would you choose that? And it was fine. He went through the room and he asked everyone. And barely anyone said yes. And the people that said yes, I think they all lied.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't think. I said no. I said there's no way I would do it. I saw Renaissance. I could not imagine living a life like that.
Right, but somebody's already in it.
Yeah. Only if you're in it, because, so to speak, you would never trade places with anybody else.
Right.
That's the reason why. Right. But would I choose?
That's
I don't
why
know.
Stephen Hawking wouldn't say...
Oh, that's a good call. So he's already there.
Well, another thing, he's got to, not offering to trade with somebody else. I'm just, he's just no, offering, he's giving up a, you know, he wouldn't give it up.
Crazy line. Let's finish off this paragraph here. Pasukei, it says right here, Pasukei, Kain Avarecha Bechayai. Oh, by the way, Zvadi ben Levi, Rishua ben Levi, and Rav Yossi bar Patron all said this line. They said this pasuk. Wait, come here, Joey. They all said this pasuk right before they died. Right before they died, they said this pasuk. It says, Ki Tov Chanzecha Mechayim, Svasai Shabchuncha. That's what they said before they passed away. It's all from the Zohar itself and how they went through.
We have the story, though, of those Amoraim who were sick, and they were told, you're getting tons of star from the sickness. They're like, I don't want the star, I want the sickness. And then you get better.
Dafei, Brachos.
Yeah. So
Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar, and I forgot who the third one was, where they said, Lohein v'lo scharen.
So
says the Marshal, because they were losing Torah. They had Gittel Torah. And they said, we don't want it because it's not Yisur and Shalava, so we don't accept it.
It must be Yisur and Shalava because they were getting schar for it.
No, Yisur and Shalava. No, either way, you get schar for Yisur and
Shalava. Yisur just takes away from your Avera.
No, yeah, that's a good call off it. The Gemara doesn't say it. The Gemara says, with Yisurin, you gain Olam Haba. And that's Akasha. How is it possible?
Right, because it takes away the Avera.
No. It's a specific, it's right there in the Gemara. And the Gemara is very specific that that's the reward. The reward is not for the Torah you learned. No, were you on my shir when I said this? I have a whole shir on it.
How the Gemara in Yoma?
Oh, so it's not there.
The Gemara in Yoma, though, it says that we talk about the specific Avera. Yeah, Yisuri Marnita can take this Avera.
In order to be Marikit. It makes sense. There's a Gemara that says straight out, Yisurin is Mevil L'chai Olam Haba. Not that Yisurin takes away the Averas. Yisurin brings you to Olam Haba. And that's where all the Rishonim say, what does that mean? How can Yisurin bring you to Olam Haba? So the lines by two Rishonim is that when you have Yisurin, right, and you're puffer from mitzvos because of the Yisurin, so therefore automatically it's Kiilu you're doing those mitzvos. Because when you're puffering a mitzvah, it's Kiilu you're doing a mitzvah. So I guess it goes through. Yeah, it goes through. It's just, it's such a line. All right, let's finish this off over here. Yes, Rosetta also talks quite a bit, but in a different way. It's a different type of learning. I will bless you in my lifetime. In your name, I'm going to lift up my hands. I'm going to daven you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Cain, Abraham Bakai. Cain is a gematria of 70, a reference to his 70 years of life over here. I'm going to be calm, so to speak. I'm going to be able to say Shema. I'm going to do Tefillah Tzedek Kamochei Levadesh and Tizbanafshi. Like the fats and marrow and everything like that. Tizbanafshi, my soul should be satisfied. Sifse Renanois, Yahalo P. My lips will sing out praises of song itself in Zacharti Chal Yitzuai. If I remember you on my couch, Bashmuros Egabach, when it's late at night, I'm going to meditate about you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm always thinking and learning, etc. And here's a line that they learn in the Medrash. If a person goes to sleep with Torah on his lips, his neshama goes up high and thinks thoughts of Torah, and you will wake up with a pasuk on your lips. There's amazing stuff on this. By the way, as a side note, I have had this before, where I woke up one time, I had a dream. I woke up and I said, De Oraisa. I said, De Oriese. I woke up with that on my lips. De Oriese, De Oraisa comes from, it's the light coming down to the world. I woke up right after that, and I said, that's the definition of De Oraisa. It happens. Those types of things happen. But again, there's certain drushes that you can get through.
It's like 30 minutes.
Should have woken up at 6. Then you would have been fine.
I don't want to wake up.
No, I wake up automatically. Oh, we got five more food. Ezra, Russell, you are my help. I will sing when I'm in the shadow of your wings. My soul will stick, cleave to you. Your right hand will hold on to me and cleave to me. But they want to destroy my soul. That's the Shoal. And bring it down to the lowest level of the world. Knock it down all the way down to the ground itself. And that's that. They will be moved. Let them be moved through the power of the sword. Let whatever they have be a portion of foxes. In other words, just like let them become carrion for the beasts and be taken by the animals of the field. They shouldn't be around anywhere. Let it be Mida Kenegamida in that way. We've heard of it Zephim and anybody else who's chasing after him. But the king, referring to really himself, but it may be referring to Mashiach as well, you should be happy with God. He should praise all those who swear by God. For the mouth of those who speak out lies will all be stopped. It will be closed up. There's a line over here. Where's Ki Sachar Pi Dobre Shaker? Where does that come from?
Shabbos? Good days? Is that where it is?
I don't know. This is not very
good days here. Supri Shalach? Brachos Dalad. Okay, so that's where it is over there. I don't remember what this pasuk is referring to. Ki Sachar Pi Dobre Shaker? There's a line over here that we learned from this, and it's a crazy one because it darshens the word soker for some reason. All right, I'll try to get it for next time. We'll go with that. Okay, stop right here.
That's Tuesday night.
We're going to be there. Yeah, Tuesday night. We're going to try to do it. It might be a little bit later than usual. Maybe we'll have